Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before we pray, let's greet our neighbors and tell everybody we're glad to see them today. Hello, hello.
I'll come down and get it for him.
Okay. Hey, Miss Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Are you ready? Okay. Let us pray.
Give him a minute.
Oh, give him a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for all your blessings, Lord, and we just ask you to lead and guide us and let us open our hearts and listen to the message Dr. Berry brings today. Lord, and just be with Sandra and Dr. Berry as they lead the service, and be with Chad as he ministers to the youngins. Lord, and it's all in your name we pray. Amen.
Robbie, we're all youngins. We're only as old. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. So, welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us this morning. We are so glad to have you here with us. Just a couple of announcements to get us going. You can see the announcements in your bulletin, of course. But a few things for this week. Wednesday night, if anybody through play practice season feels called or would like to come and prepare a meal for the kids, I can make sure we get the food. If you can't get it, we can get the food here. That would be greatly appreciated. It gets kind of overwhelming to when you come in and you're trying to fix meals and lead Bible studies, and I can do it, don't get me wrong, but I love it to death. But if anybody would be willing throughout play season to come in and prepare meals, so there's one for this Wednesday. Just let me know, send me a message. My number's in the bulletin. That would be greatly appreciated. Christmas play practice is on Wednesday. It starts at 5:30. We had a good turnout for our first week, and play practice season is in full swing, and it's a great way for us to come together and fellowship as the kids and the youth and whoever comes in and helps and worship God and see those kids the way they love to sing and worship and just really get into it. So if you've not come to play practice, we'd love to invite you out for that. If you're a kid and you want to come, and if you're adult and you want to come, I guarantee you Sandra wouldn't turn you away, would you? So, because it is a busy time, and it's okay, because it's great to lead these kids. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services that start right after that, 6:30. Dr. Berry is going through a study on Revelation, and then the kids and the youth, we are down in the building. We split up and split our groups up, and we go and we are doing some Bible studies down there. So come out to that. There's really not a lot of things to announce. Joey has to come up and say something. And she texts me and she says, if I'll let her. And I had to think about it for a little while. And she said she was coming anyway. So after Joey, I'll turn it over to Dr. Barry. We'll kick us off in prayer this morning. We have about 20.
We had 16
this past. But not everybody. There's between 20 and 25, so depending on the week. And it's also some of the adults that are there that will eat. We had 8 corn dogs last week. So.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me all right. This morning, I wanted to speak to you about Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes, and I've asked Sandra or Pat if they have anything to contribute just to jump in, because I'm not very prepared. In more than 107 countries, they receive shoeboxes packed by Christians as a strategy for evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication of believers in churches in their communities. The most important item in the box is the opportunity to share God's love and the good news of Jesus Christ with children in need. Local Christians who know the cultures of the country are effective in resourcing in their own language and have a solid biblical foundation so they can communicate in their language to the children through the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. For example, they give this one example of a pastor in Fiji who hosted an Operation Christmas Child shoebox outreach event in a rural community that had no church. He invited the children to attend the Greatest Journey follow-up discipleship program. As the students gathered for the program, their parents grew curious and began attending too. The village elder became a believer and offered his property as a place for a new church to meet. Today, 80 people attend that church regularly, and 5 additional churches have been started in the surrounding villages from that. So that can show you the gift of one shoebox to a child, how it affects a community. And they told us at a meeting that Pat and I were at the other week, how many people one shoebox affected, and I can't remember it now, but it was a lot because they carry that box home and they show it to their parents and their any other siblings that may be there. And it has some of the discipleship things in it that Samaritan's Purse gives out. And so it's spreading the word to all their family. Then they go out into the community, and it's how you're doing a mission, but you don't have to go. But by packing that shoebox, you're showing those children and those families how you care about them. And it's following the Great Commission command that we go out and make disciples of all nations. And then I also wanted to challenge our church to pack shoeboxes. Our children pack them through the WMU and through your gifts to us for them to use for packing, but I'd like to challenge each of you to pack a box. I have a sheet I'm going to put on the bulletin board that says, I will pack 2 shoeboxes, or if you can't, absolutely cannot pack, you can make a donation of $20 that would be used for packing boxes and for shipping cost. We would divide it out between those two things so we could pack more and pay for some of the shipping. And also this week they opened up the processing center in Charlotte and Boone for reservations to go work at them. I was not able to get Boone, unfortunately, but I did get a reservation for 10 members to go to Charlotte. So this will be on the bulletin board, too. It'll be our day to go to the processing center in Charlotte will be December the 1st, and we are scheduled to work from 2 to 7. And I've already talked to Gary, and he's willing to drive the bus and take us down there. So think about it. If you've never been, you'll see so much more of what Samaritan's Purse does and what those boxes mean. Thank you.
Before Don comes up, I would like to remind everyone that we are having a toddler shower today between 2 and 4. Now, this is for Rebecca. Rebecca, wave at everybody. Rebecca became a guardian overnight to Miss Emma. Emma, wave at everybody. Autumn, wave at everybody. And Olivia, wave at everybody. There we go. So this is a drop-in shower today from 2 to 4. Everyone in the church is welcome to come and get to know Rebecca and the three little angels. So that's today. Also, in 2 Sundays from today, we will be having Pastor Appreciation Day. So we will recognize our pastors as well as have a church-wide meal. A church-wide meal means pack a picnic basket and come and join us for a time of fellowship after the church. Thank you.
Good morning. I hope you're doing well. This is the kind of weather, it's kind of nice to, it's a little cool in the morning, gets a little warmer in the afternoon. Would you join me as we invite God to come and bless this service? Lord, we pray for your name to be lifted on high today. We pray that we listen to your voice as you speak to us through a song, through scripture, through anything that's spoken. We pray that you receive all honor and glory from this service, and pray that we recommit ourselves to your service. And we pray that we could spread the good news, not just by fixing shoeboxes, but actually talking to our neighbors and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. We pray your blessings upon this service, and may it be always for your honor and for your glory, as we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our opening hymn, I Love You, Lord? Would you stand, please? gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, Savior, and our friend, we thank you for our many gifts and blessings that you have bestowed upon us. I pray now that you will take our gifts, bless it, use it to further your kingdom. Bless this giver. For it is your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing hymn number 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 182.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
The kids come forward. While they're coming forward, I want to thank everyone for their prayers last week. Sorry I had to get out of here so quickly, but I thank you for your prayers. And guys, you can come on up, Izzy. I know I'm not supposed to have a favorite kid, but my favorite kid has been gone for a couple of weeks, and he's back. He's my favorite kid in my children's sermon up here, and he's back. I was so excited to look up and see him sitting there. So, how are you guys? Good. I'm excited to be here today. I feel much better this week. So, I have a question. Who in here has ever gotten a call? Could be in a phone call on a phone. It could like a FaceTime on a tablet. Something like that, right? It's fun to get a call, right? All right, and now I got another question. Who has ever been out in their yard and got a call from a bush that was on fire? Anybody? Nobody? Anybody? Okay. All right, I was just making sure, because if you were, I'd like to talk about it and figure out, you know, be a pretty awesome experience. Well, today we are talking about, in here, we're talking about a guy named Moses. And Pastor Don is going to be reading out of Exodus, the very big chapter 3 and the first few verses there. And in that, there was this guy named Moses. And he was out in the desert and he was out in the wilderness working one day. And he saw a bush that was on fire. Well, he looked over at this bush that was on fire. And even though it was on fire, it wasn't burning up. And he said, I got to go see what this is. And so he walked over there, and a voice came from the bush and told him to stop because it was a holy place, and he was in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that pretty awesome that the Lord came and spoke to Moses through a bush? I think that's very awesome. And Moses got a calling that day, but it was a little different than just a call on the telephone. God called Moses to do something special. And he was going to go and free God's people from the Pharaoh. And Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And you know, I understand that. I felt the same way when God called me into ministry. And I honestly feel the same way because I feel like I'm not worthy to come in here and share the gospel with you guys, the great news, but I'm glad that I get to do it. And so Moses, though, he was like, you know, God, who am I to do it? And God told Moses, he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God called Moses to do something special. And Moses doubted his ability. Well, Moses doubted his own personal ability for really good reason, because we are just people, right? I'm just a man. Dr. Barry, Miss Sandra, all these deacons, everybody in here, we're just people. But so if we went out to do these things and we went out to do them on our own, it would be pretty impossible for us to do some of the things we do, they do those things on our own. But God reassured Moses and said he was not going to be on his own, that God would be him every step of the way. And so each one of you guys, as you grow and get older, God's going to give you a calling. And no, he may not call each of you to be preachers or missionaries, but he may call you to teach a Sunday school class in your church. He may call you to go into your job and where a lot of people maybe don't know Jesus and be that light, be the person that shares the word of God with the people around you. And so, but everything that you do is part of God, is when you pick on God, when you pick God's calling, that's God's plan for you. And we have a choice whether or not we follow God's plan. But do you think we can have a really, really fully successful and fulfilled life if we're not doing what God called us to do? No, that's right. Because what God calls us to do is our main purpose in life. Because our main purpose is to love God and then love others. And by loving God, we go out and love others and share Jesus and share the good news with the other people around us. So I want to challenge you as you get older, because I know you guys say, well, I'm just 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10, and say, but guess what? God doesn't look at your age. He looks at you, and he's got a, right now, he's calling for you is to go into your schools every single day and be that light. Be kind to people. Love people. Share Jesus with people every opportunity you get. And you say, well, I'm too little. I can't do that. Remember, you're not doing it by yourself. God is with you every step of the way. Isn't that awesome? I think it's very awesome to me. All right, and I'm going to pray, and we can sit on the front row, or you can sit back with your parents, and then we'll go to children's church shortly. Let's bow our heads. God, God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for loving us the way you do and for being the God that you are. Thank you for calling Moses to free the Israelites, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross and rise again on the third day for our sins. And thank you for calling us to be the light to the world around us and give us the strength and the courage and the confidence to go out and be that light. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen. No? Okay.
Has been prayed for at some time in your life. Hopefully, you have asked people to pray for you. If no one has ever prayed for you specifically, then shame on you because you didn't request prayer. If you're going through a situation, we need to be praying for you. The Bible encourages us to pray for each other and even demands for us to pray for each other. Now, I'm going to admit, Whitey and I have hogged your prayers. Over these past few years, we're just constantly asking for your prayers. But I will admit, we felt your prayers and the prayers were answered. I wait for God to lay an anthem on my heart for us to sing. Sometimes it works great with the message. Sometimes it's just somebody needed to hear that song. This is one of my favorite songs, and I guess it's because I do request prayer so much. But I feel led that there's people out there that need prayer this morning. So I pray that you'll share with us your needs and your concerns. I read that three of the top reasons for prayer. The main one is when we're going in for surgery. And yes, we should be praying for that person during surgery. The next one was a tie between college students going through exams and someone applying for a job. And another one that was in the top was when a parent has a teenager fixing to get their license. But for whatever reason, if you are requesting prayer, bring it to us, because we are called to pray for one another. So thank you for your prayers. And I will say, I think you can all hear me this morning. I do not have to have my vocal cords removed. I do not even have to have surgery. The doctor told me that I needed to have voice lessons all over again. Since I'm a voice teacher, I can give my own self lessons, so I'm charging a lot for myself. And she said that I needed to talk loud, to sing a lot, and to even yell. So just ask Whitey, I have really been practicing my yelling. So thank you for praying for me, but again, please allow us to pray for you.
When my heart was so broken that I couldn't pray, when love wasn't easy to see, someone was there, somebody cared. Somebody showed me the face of His mercy when darkness was all I could see. Somebody pleaded the blood of Jesus. Somebody prayed for me. Tear. Some Somebody went to the throne of heaven. Somebody lived in my name, bringing me into his holy presence, saying what I could not say. Somebody showed me the face of his mercy when darkness was all I could see. Somebody pleaded the blood of Jesus.
Sandra, I did have a question about clarity. When the last one you mentioned about praying for kids getting their license, kids praying for the people that will be driving on the same highway. Okay, I'll just clarify. All right. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 12. Exodus chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, and why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you brought the people out of the land of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. May God bless the reading and hearing the word. Lord, we come to you this day and we seek your face. The face that was once hidden from us is now revealed in the person of Jesus. As you tore that curtain and broke down the barrier between us and you, and Jesus provides that bridge. We pray that we have eyes to hear, or eyes to see, and ears to hear whatever word you have to speak to us this day. as we look at one of the prayers that have shaped our faith tradition. For all this, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We love our heroes. A lot of times I see debate on who is the GOAT, the greatest basketball player of all time. Younger ones are choosing Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, my generation, Wilt Chamberlain. And so we like to have heroes. Heroes are a natural thing. We love our war heroes, sports heroes. But we also like our heroes of the faith, as we looked at one of those last week in the person of Abraham. There's something about a hero that excels, and somehow we think if we were in that position, maybe we could have excelled as well. That maybe we can get beyond what we anticipate is our limit. But we also learn that heroes are very human. And the Bible doesn't color that down any. It shows the weakness of the people that God uses. The same war hero, the same sports hero, and even some of the heroes of the faith fall short in areas of their life. Scandal is not beyond any human hero. And we don't have to look far to find examples. One of the movies that I like, I actually like a movie that introduced the song White Christmas called Holiday Inn. A lot of people don't know about that movie. But that's when White Christmas was sung for the first time. But in the movie White Christmas, Bing Crosby is there and he is honoring his general during the war. And he develops a relationship with Rosemary Clooney. And everything is going fine. She finds out something about him. And he then kind of loses face, doesn't know why she's upset with him. And finally, at the end of the movie, she realizes she misunderstood what had happened. And she gives him a gift. And that's the knight on the horse. And she says, it's real easy to fall off the horse. But thanks be to God, you get back on the horse again, that she was his hero again. Today we look at another biblical hero. In addition to Abram, who was an unlikely choice, Moses also was born to a simple Hebrew family. He had to hide, or he was hidden by his mother in order to avoid all the males being killed because they were getting too numerous for Pharaoh's liking. So many of his other males were killed during this event, but he was hidden in the bulrushes in a basket. Moses was then found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised as an Egyptian. Now, she did not have experience raising a child, so God intervenes, and she goes out looking for somebody to be a wet nurse or somebody to basically take care of the child, and it ended up being his mother. And so his mother is raising him, but he's being raised in an Egyptian household. Moses seems to be on an influential track. He seems to be gaining trust of the Pharaoh. He seems to be moving forward until one day he sees a Jewish person being beaten by an Egyptian. He steps in and strikes the guard and ends up killing him. So now, instead of being part of that Egyptian household, having basically anything you want, he has to head for the hills. This promising Egyptian now becomes a shepherd, watching the sheep. And he does have a father-in-law named Jethro. Bodine, not the last name. Just saying. The persecution of the Jews continued to increase during Moses' lifetime. It got worse and worse. And the Hebrews prayed for God to send a hero to them, a hero that would deliver them from their bondage. And finally, God answered that prayer, and he chose Moses. Imagine, if you will, you're on a mountainside. You're tending a herd of sheep in a remote area that's short on grass, long on wild animals. Imagine being on a mountainside not knowing what dangers are just around the corner. Then imagine turning a corner and gazing on a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed by the fire. Only God can do such a thing. so we choose to look away. From this miraculous sight, you hear a voice saying your name, Moses, Moses, and you squeak out the words, I'm here. The voice identifies himself as the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. When you realize that God is speaking to you, you fear and you hide your face. Imagine then hearing the next message that God has heard the prayers of his people and is going to do something about their suffering in Egypt. Your heart is warm to know that justice will be done and that people will be relieved of their suffering until you come to the realization God is calling you to be the person to lead that. You're asked to go back to your people who you left behind, the people that have all the power, and take the people from their grasp and set them free. Now imagine how difficult that would. Imagine going and being a place of people that are imprisoned and going to a king or going to a president and say, oh, I demand my people to be let free. I would be a little intimidated by that as well. Moses was overwhelmed by what God had asked him to do. Moses, you can be the hero that people have been praying for. I choose you to lead the people out. Moses, as we probably would say, why me? I'm not worthy. I'm not experienced. I can't do this lofty task that you've asked me to do. God assures you, you will not go on this journey alone, that God will be with you in every step of the way, and God will give you the words that you need to speak and tell you what you need to do in action. But how will I convince the people that it's really you that's sending me? How will they know? And then tell them, Yahweh sent me. Yahweh is the personal name of God that is first revealed in the Bible to Moses. It can be translated, I am that I am. It is the personal name of God that is not spoken by Jewish persons today. As a matter of fact, they will use a different word, usually Adonai, which means Lord, or Hashem. But they never speak the word Adonai or the word Yahweh because that is the personal name of God out of respecting God. But Moses is the first to hear that name spoken aloud. What if they don't believe me? Well, here's a staff. Use that as proof. I'm not a good speaker. Okay, I'll send your brother Aaron. How many excuses can we? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Give an excuse after excuse after excuse. Can't you pick somebody else? I will also send your brother with you. The excuses finally run out, and now he's faced with the greatest challenge to go be faced by your people and to provide leadership. I remember when my wife and I were appointed as missionary, and we were at the appointment service, and my father said to me, he had been battling with Parkinson's for some time, but can't somebody else go in your place? And that's always a hard thing to hear. But Moses had run out of excuses. Now he is going to go and do this. And you think, well, we've been looking at different prayers, and like Abram, this is not really a kind of conventional prayer, but it is Moses talking with God. It's a conversation between God and Moses. And the prayer itself is this conversation because it's an answer to prayer, the prayer of the Hebrew people who have been enslaved. And Moses has to think to himself, how do I carry the weight of all your people? How do I carry the weight for the thousands of people that are enslaved? And the weight was heavy enough that it was shared with his brother, Aaron. In this prayer, we recognize that not all heroes volunteer for the opportunity to serve. Sometimes things just happen, and sometimes God intervenes to call them to this service. Moses offered excuse after excuse why this would not work, but God had more assurances than Moses had excuses. And the bottom line is, God will do what God desires to do. Another old movie that I like is called Alvin York. Don't know if anybody has heard of that movie. This is a man from Tennessee who is wild and woolly one, but finally ends up having a dramatic conversion experience and becomes a Christian. And basically, in this small little church that he attends, comes to the conclusion you're not supposed to kill people, because that's what the Ten Commandments says. So it comes time that he's being drafted to function in World War I. And in this, he tries to apply to be a conscientious observer, meaning he doesn't want to kill people. And so he wants to be relieved from his military experience. Well, to shorten the story, he ends up being talked into go ahead and serving. Well, in this, he ends up protecting his whole squad that were completely surrounded by Germans, and he became a war hero. And the state of Tennessee even built a house for him in southern Tennessee, or I guess in northern Tennessee. And so in this, he didn't want to go. He thought it was even wrong to go. And he was asked at the end, why did you choose to do what you did? And he said, I thought more people would die if I didn't do what I did. And so God used him to save the lives of many people. We learn also that God chooses to use people to be agents of his work in the world. God doesn't need our help. God can do it with us or without us. But God chooses to use us because God wants us to see his hand at work, and you get to see it firsthand. That's the marvelous thing. People today can be used to change the world if we just listen to the call of God and trust God's leadership. But we learn that being a hero is not always easy. Somebody once said, never meet your heroes. I grew up in Kentucky, about 2 hours from Cincinnati. Pete Rose was my hero. I tried to bat like him, and after about a year or so, realized I need to bat like me, not like him, because I'm not him. But I did get to meet him at a ball game, and he was not the most courteous person, and ended up getting in some trouble a little bit later that's keeping me out of the Hall of Fame related to gambling. Heroes fall, just as all of us fall. And we have to realize even Moses fell. Moses messed up multiple times. He apparently had a little bit of a temper, and he allowed his anger to get the better of him. It led him to strike and kill the Egyptian. He also struck a rock when God instructed him to speak to the rock for the water to come out. But if God calls a hero, even a flawed hero, God will provide the necessary strengths and words to be able to speak God's message. But when it comes down to it, there's really only one worthy to be our hero, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't part the waters, but he sure walked on them. And because of that, we know that someone who is worthy of all praise and of all honor, he is the one who should always be our hero, because he's the only one that never fell short. Maybe you need a hero in your life today. Maybe there's some challenge you need to overcome. Maybe you need God to somehow intervene in dealing with something you're dealing with. Just like somebody prayed for you, pray to God and ask people to pray for you so that you can overcome whatever has been placed in your path. Because even when we can't do it, God can, because that's the way God works. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you for being faithful to us. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts and helps us understand things the way we need to, to apply your word into our lives in this moment and in the days ahead. We pray that we would listen to your spirit, whatever it may say to us, so that we may be willing to be a hero if called, but also that we're willing to seek your face, to call upon you to provide such a hero, at least for what storm we happen to be in right now. We give you ourselves in your service. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, Speak to My Heart, hymn number 281. Would you stand, please?
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray.
We'll sing the first verse, 387. All God's people said, amen. Amen.